Welcome to But I'm a Lesbian, the podcast where we serve alt baddie sass, queer film reviews, and everything in between. Whether you're a baby gay
or a queer elder, we're here, we're queer, and we're diving deep into all things lesbian. We're your hosts, Caitlin
and Angelina.
Get ready for some sapphic serotonin. So this week, we are discussing the Christy Martin biopic, Christy. This film stars Sydney Sweeney, who is very unliked lately.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So do, Angie, do yeah. you have a celeb that you have one-sided beef with? And also, is there one that you will always defend?
Oh my God, that's kind of hard. I feel like a lot of the times I'm like, oh, I don't like them. But it's never like, oh my God, I absolutely hate them. Other than the obvious abusers and like shitty men. Yeah,
we'll talk about them because some people still like Chris Brown. Which is
crazy.
That's
disgusting.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But I'm like, that's just crazy.
So Chris Brown.
Chris Brown is one. Definitely Brad Pitt.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah. He is – I used to really like him when I was younger and before everything else came out and I realized all that stuff and I was like, oh my God. So him, that's my one-sided beef. Do I have a celebrity that I'll always defend?
I have one.
The only thing I can think of, and it's not even – well, yeah, people talk shit about her, but it makes me think of that argument I had.
Exactly!
Cher! I don't know why.
Yeah, like, don't talk about Cher.
It struck such a chord with me, and I just felt the need to. And then my family also got into it here with me, and I was like, oh, my God, am I the only person on Cher's side?
They're like, Cher can have a 30-year-old boyfriend if she wants.
I'm like, I don't care. Men do it all the time. Like, who cares? And my dad had to be the mediator. He's like, we don't know Cher. Let's let her live her life.
He's like, I feel like I know her.
I'm like, but she's my close personal friend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys are all wrong. Yeah. So, yeah, I do have somebody to defend. It's Cher.
Yes.
What about you?
Remember that episode of Drag Race where Tyra Sanchez kept standing up for Beyonce? And
oh
they were like,
God.
It's not like you know Beyonce. Like, she's that's like, how you were being with Cher.
Honestly, I felt embarrassed afterwards. I reflected, but I still stand on what I said and did. So, yeah. You?
Okay, I have one-sided beef with so many celebrities,
okay.
as we know. I don't know if I talked about this on the pod or I talked about it behind the scenes with you, but I fucking hate Jon Hamm. He should not have a platform. He should not be getting cast in shows. Mm-hmm. He literally hurt this man, this young man that was pledging his sorority, his fraternity. He dragged him by the balls with a hammer
crazy.
Abused him so badly that this guy still has like lifelong issues due to it. And also Mark Wahlberg.
I was going to say Mark Wahlberg.
Is so racist and he was involved in multiple hate crimes.
Yes.
Violent hate crimes. And he still gets this platform and people are like, oh, well, that was a long time ago. Okay. I did a lot of dumb shit when I was younger, but I didn't abuse people and attack people for their race or sex or, you know what I mean? Like that's fucked up. That just shows you're a shitty person.
Exactly.
Also, obviously, I fucking hate Shia LaBeouf.
And I
see people talking about how they are like, oh, it's okay. He's still my man. And I'm like,
ew.
He is abusive.
Or James Franco.
Oh, yeah. And James Franco. Yeah. But I want to tell you more about Shia LaBeouf because people don't know this fact for some reason. Obviously, everybody knows that he is abusive and that he abused FKA Twigs and Mia Goth. And then Mia Goth went back to him and had another kid with him, which is like upsetting.
Yeah.
But also, he told FKA Twigs that when he was method acting and getting into the role for some role he did, he killed stray dogs.
Yeah.
What a fucking psycho. Like, I hate this guy. He's obviously evil.
Yeah.
And it makes me mad when anybody, like, defends him. Also, obviously, he's homophobic because the whole thing in New Orleans, he was like, well, yeah, I don't like big gay guys.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, they're all men. I also don't like Katy Perry.
Or Jared Leto.
He's like a cult leader weirdo. Yes. And it sucks because I think he's vegan. But, oh, my God, you know what? another person I don't like, I wouldn't really say I have one-sided beef with them, but the vegan thing reminded me. Travis Barker.
Oh, is he?
He sucks. Oh. He's vegan, but apparently he's not vegan for any real reasons. He just likes to just be different. Like he gives like in his book, he said he's not vegan because he cares about animals or the earth or his health. It's just a texture thing, which really doesn't make sense because to be vegan, you also don't eat anything that has like butter in it. Like he doesn't like the texture of muffins. Like that doesn't even make sense. But anyway, just an example. I don't fucking like this guy. Yeah. He is such a loser. He thinks he's really cool and he's not cool. But as I go so hard against people, I also will defend people to the fucking death. I will defend Fred Armisen forever because I think he is very funny. And anytime somebody doesn't like him and they say he's an asshole, I say, you just don't understand him. Like, as
you
if
just
I
don't know him.
I'm like, you don't get his humor. He's literally so funny.
He's your friend. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's friends with Carrie Brownstein and I trust her. So I think he's a good person. And Seth Rogen, I will always defend.
Oh, yeah.
I really hope nothing bad ever comes out about him because I know he was friends with James Franco, but he did like cut ties with him.
Yes.
And he's friends with Judd Apatow. And recently I've heard weird stuff about Judd Apatow, but I hope it's all rumors. But I don't have strong thoughts on him, but Seth Rogen's my favorite. He's, you know, if I were to have a man crush, he's my man crush forever. I just think he's so funny. And I mean, I'll always defend Chapel. I'll always defend most women. But like when there was this Chapel Roan like smear campaign, I was like, everybody's just mad because she's a woman and she's a lesbian. She doesn't want anybody's dick. Mm-hmm. So they have to like try to bring her down a notch.
And then only come to find out, I was going to say, it wasn't even true. The guy like posted on his Instagram and was like, and it's like so crazy. Everybody's ready to jump on her for having boundaries.
She got one of her things at that
It was canceled. Date,
it got canceled because she was mean to that guy's daughter. And it's like, it wasn't even her or her security. Mm-hmm. Like, it's fucking bullshit. It was just a smear campaign against her. So I'll always defend women and I'll always defend Fred Armisen and Seth Rogen.
The two honorary men.
I'm like, I love them. There might be more, but I can't think of any. Okay, so do you have any hot takes or burning desires about this movie that you want to share?
I don't think it's a hot take. I just think in general, maybe it is a hot take. Because I know that they said that this movie was not a hit. It was sort of like a box office bomb. But I thought it was really good. And it told the story of somebody that didn't have a voice back then. Or was popular, but there were a lot of like things going on in her personal life.
Yeah.
So I did think that Sydney Sweeney did a good job.
She did such a good job.
Even though I think like some of the other stuff that is going on with her is like, you know.
Yeah, it sucks that she's a Trumper.
Yeah. But I'm like, you did good in this movie.
Yeah.
So, what about you?
Yeah, I think that this movie showed that Sydney Sweeney is actually a good actress. Because like watching her like in Euphoria, I just was like, well, maybe that's just how she is, you know. Yeah. And I watched The Housemaid and it was whatever, like – but in this, she really had to act like someone very different than her.
Yeah.
And I think she did a really good job. And I was like, my hot take is that the movie got overshadowed by the Sydney Sweeney hate. I think that that is a fucking shame. Because even though she maybe is a shitty person, she did a really good job. Mm-hmm. And the person that this was based on defended her and felt that she was a good choice for the role. And I think out of respect for Christy, like – people should have gone to see this movie instead of being like, I don't like Sydney Sweeney, so I'm not going to see it.
Yeah,
I just felt like that sucks that her own personal shit overshadowed the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, we already told you, so it's not going to be a surprise when it gets a high rating, but this movie was really fucking good.
Exactly.
If you haven't seen it, you need to see it because, it made me cry a lot.
It was very emotional. Yeah. It's so, I will save that part for your recap, but it's so good.
Yeah, I do want to say I kind of already knew her story because there's this, I think it's like Sports Illustrated or something. They do this thing on Netflix. It's like short documentaries and they're called Untold. Okay. Something like that.
And it's I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And they did one on Christy Martin. Okay. And I watched it. And I don't usually watch sports things, but I love to support women. So I was like, it's a woman. I'm going to watch it. And then I was like, oh my God, she's gay. What? I was like, I fucking love this shit. And so I was like, oh, I'm a big fan of hers ever since I watched this documentary. And so I was really excited when the movie was coming out. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go see it, but I didn't because well, no one wanted to go with me. We can blame my wife. She didn't want to go with me, and so I didn't go. But it was really good. I watched it as soon as it came out on HBO. So that was my soapbox or whatever. So we're going to take a quick breaky, and when we get back, we'll get into the recap. So practice some boxy moves and try some jump roping on the break.
Okay, welcome back to But I'm a Lesbian. This week we're discussing Christy.
Yes, so we're discussing Christy for two reasons. One is because I really liked the documentary and I was excited that this came out on HBO Max so that our listeners could watch it and we could watch it. Mm-hmm. And secondly, it's our season finale and I felt like we should do like kind of a newer movie that maybe people have been hearing about and haven't seen yet or gotten a chance to see yet. So yeah, you guys, this is our season finale, which is fucking crazy. This is our season two finale, which means when this comes out, we will have aired 48 full episodes.
I know. That's so crazy to think about.
That's a lot. And we are going to make a teaser. We made a teaser for season two. We'll make a teaser for season three. Mm-hmm. So we will put that out in the week in between this and season three starting because we're just doing a week in between. But we've got really cool stuff coming up for season three. Mm-hmm. And I just really want to like take a moment to thank everybody that listens to us, anybody that's like liked or shared any of our stories or anything, because it's wild. It's been less than a year. It's been almost a year. Almost. I think when this comes out, it'll be like almost a year mark, and we've done two full seasons. We've had amazing guests that we never would have thought would be interested in our podcast. Mm-hmm. We've reviewed so many movies. We have gotten onto a podcast network. We didn't really talk about this, I don't think, but we're on Black Cat Podcast Network.
Yeah.
So there are other podcasts on there, like Residue that we shouted out before, and Crime Salad is another one. So that's a really big deal. The other super huge deal is that we're on Tello, which is like amazing, and we are one of their first podcasts. Mm-hmm. So we feel really special and just, I don't know. I always feel like it sounds religious when I use this word. So no, I'm not using it in a religious way, but I feel very blessed. I feel like incredibly blessed to be able to do this and meet people, you know, virtually for them to hear us and feel like less alone and also hopefully like laugh with us and sometimes cry with us when we talk about sad things like this movie. I just feel really grateful, filled with gratitude. Yeah,
absolutely. I think that we've grown so much since we first started. And it's like Caitlin said, so crazy to see how many people have guest starred on here and like all the cool things that we were able to do thanks to you guys as well for like supporting us and like continuing to engage with our content and a lot more fun things for season three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you guys.
Thank
okay.
you.
You gotta
get ready.
Strap on to listen to this episode about Christy.
Yes.
Okay. So we open on narration by Christy. So like this is older Christy telling her own story, you know, but obviously it's Sydney Sweeney's voice. It's not actual Christy. So it's narration by Christy saying that someone once told her that she fought like she had demons in her. Mm-hmm. And maybe she does. So we're going to see some of her demons and we're going to see her fighting. So We see her. She's wearing a Dr. Pepper shirt at a small boxing ring in a fight with a girl that is like way bigger than her. Oh my God. I was scared for her. It was giving like David and Goliath or whatever. Oh my God. Like, cause she looks really small.
That's true. Girl, like, she's like, just like
bigger. Yeah. And then we see this is 1989 and it is in Itman, West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And whenever I see something that ends with man, I want to. Did you watch It's Always Sunny?
No.
Okay.
I've seen episodes, but.
Okay. Well, the most famous episode, I think, is where it's the day man and the night man. It's like this. Charlie wrote this play. And anyway, the song is like, day man, woo, fighter of the night man, woo. So I want to be like, it man. Woo. Anyway, it's stupid. Whatever. Okay. So also Charlie Day is my birthday twin. So I think he's hilarious because he's just like me. Anyway, then we see she walks into her house and she has a cute little dog and she shows her family she won the boxing match and she made $300 and she got a cool jacket that says like winner or whatever of the competition. And the brother is like so proud and excited.
Yeah.
And then the mom seems upset, and now lunch is awkward. And then the mom, which this reminds me of The Truth About Jane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The mom is like, somebody called me and said some horrible things about you and your best friend. And don't do gay stuff, basically. They're like, you said she's just your best friend, but they said that they saw you doing other things. And she's like, we won't help you with your rent anymore unless you stop being gay, basically, and you can't see your friend anymore. And I'm like, this is crazy because she's an adult. She's living outside. I think she's like 18 or 19. She's still very young, but she's living in an apartment, like, and her parents help her with the rent, which is okay. I never had the experience of like where my parents paid my rent or whatever. And I always wished that I did, right? I was like, well, that'd be fucking cool. But then at the same time, every time my dad gave me money for anything, I felt like I couldn't tell him when he did something fucked up or I couldn't do certain things that he might not like because he was giving me money. So I feel like I get it. The like money thing is like, well, even though you don't live here and you're an adult, we have this over your head. So I don't know. Maybe it's a blessing that nobody paid my rent because I didn't feel like I had to like live up to these standards or whatever. Anyway, the mom is like, what you're doing isn't normal and I want you to be normal and have a happy, normal life. And it's so stupid because people are so obsessed with being normal.
I know.
And like fitting in. And it's like, girl, you're literally so pathetic. Maybe this is the Aquarius in me, but it's like, why do you want to be like everybody else? It's fucking boring. Yeah. Like normal just means kind of like basic. Like be like everybody. Like, no, be yourself. This is my Leo-ness. I'm like, let yourself shine. be who you are.
Be who you are for your pride. Have you seen that video?
No.
It's like always servicing around Pride Month. And it's this lady. She's like, be who you are for your pride. No. And then it shows like Pride colors.
My favorite like Pride video, I don't know. I love the one where it's like, I'm blah, 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 and I'm part of the LGBTQ community. And this is my friend Valentina. She's an ally. Say something, Valentina.
I'm an ally.
Ally. It's so funny. I can't. Anytime someone says ally, that's I imagine
you're like,
it,
ally.
Valentina going, ally. Anywho, so, okay.
My bad. Sorry.
That's okay. Okay, so the mom said she's not normal. Okay, then we see Christy and her girlfriend making out, so she is gay.
Yeah.
And the girlfriend is like, I don't know, my mom wants me to talk to a priest. Maybe I should go talk to a priest and stop doing this, like my mom says.
Yeah.
And Christy is like, no, I want to do sex stuff. She's still like kissing her and stuff. And then I think she was like kissing like her stomach and stuff. Anyway, and she's like sad because she's like, never mind, I don't want to do this. And so Christy's like, ugh.
She's like, fine, then go talk to the priest.
Yes. And so then we see Christy playing basketball and a girl on the team calls her a fucking lesbian and like she starts fighting her. And then she gets in trouble with the coach, which is so stupid. And it also reminds me of The Truth About Jane when the brother was like, you dyke. And then the sister like attacked him. And then they were like, you can't attack your brother. And it's like,
you can't hit your brother. Yeah.
And then at home, we see her get a call from someone that works for a boxing promoter guy, manager guy, and he wants to have her do a competition and she could win $500. And so then her brother and her girlfriend go with her. So I guess, I don't know if the girlfriend is like, we can just still be friends, or she is like, we're still together, but I'm going to talk to the priest. I don't know. But the girlfriend does go with her. And she like knocks the girl out like pretty immediately and wins. So she's really good at knocking people out.
She is. She's a really good fighter.
Yes. And so Larry Carrier is the promoter, and he introduces himself and gives her the money that she won. Mm-hmm. And then he tells her he wants her to train with a guy named Jim Martin. Mm-hmm. That's not good, because we know her last name is going to be Martin at some point. Yeah. It's not Martin yet. It's Salters at this point. And if she likes training with him, he'll promote her and get her some more fights. And he invites her to bring her parents, because she's like 18 or 19.
Yeah.
And so she and her mom and her dog show up at the gym to meet Jim. So, okay, J-I-M. And he has a comb over and is very rude.
He has a big old beer belly. He looks like expired milk.
Yeah.
He's disgusting.
He is so gross. He looks like he smells.
He does. You know, like expired milk.
Yeah, like, ew. Okay, I think I might have told you this. So I've heard that, like, people say that no one would tell me this, because I think they would be like, oh, am I accidentally being racist? But you can't be racist towards white people, because racism requires oppression.
Yeah.
But point being, I have heard that people that aren't white say that white people smell like wet dogs when we're wet. And I asked my wife about it, because she's not white. Yeah. And I was like, have you ever like, do white people have like a certain smell? And she's like, sometimes I can tell when someone's white. Like, she's like, you don't smell like this, but like, they smell like McDonald's.
Oh my God.
But he looks like he smells like McDonald's, because he has that his beer belly, his weird comb over. He looks like he smells like, you know, the fry oil and the weird like meat.
Yeah.
So gross.
That's anyway, crazy. Okay.
Tell me in the comments what you've heard white people smell like, or what
if you're white, what do you smell like?
What do you smell like? Anyway, so she then is like, well, I'm going to leave because Jim was rude to me. So she tells Larry, like, that guy was an asshole. Mm-hmm. And then he starts acting nicer to her, because he's like, oh, I'm supposed to be nice to her because of Larry. And then she tells her mom, like, this is stupid. I want to leave and go back home because Jim is a dick. And the mom is like, well, Larry offered to pay for your hotel and all this stuff, so you should just do it. And she's like, I can't believe you're such a quitter. And so I feel like she stayed to, like, prove her wrong. Like, I'm not a quitter.
Because she's like, when have you ever let, like, a man stop you? Which I was like, okay, you know, that's true for Chrissy at least. But still, like, he was such a dick.
I know. And so then the next day at training – the gym guy, Jim Martin, tells his fighter to go extra hard on her and break her rib if he has to. Yeah. So he's just a dick. He's like, oh, this girl thinks she's going to fight. Like, he says something about, like, I don't believe in this lady boxing thing, but Larry really thinks it's, like, the next big thing. So I guess I have to train you. So he, like, wants the guy to be, like, extra hard.
Like, get her out, like, so she can't. Yeah.
And I think I've talked about this before on the show. I like the Righteous Gemstones.
Okay,
and
the
guy, his name is Short Dog, that she fights with, he is from Righteous Gemstones. He is named Keith, and he's gay on there.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I love that.
I was like, oh my God, ally. He's not gay in real life. I looked it up, obviously.
Or in this movie.
Yeah, but he was gay in Righteous Gemstones. Okay. So the next day at training, oh wait, I already said that. He tells her to break her rib. What a piece of shit. And then Short Dog does hit her in the ribs, and then she knocks him down with a punch to the head.
And I like how his name is Short Dog now.
Yes. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, wow, but, you know, she's doing what she's supposed to do, but it's also like, she probably hasn't really fought with men before. She hasn't fought in an actual training gym. And as women, we're socialized to like, be like, nice and submissive. So she's like, oh my God, I knocked this guy over. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But I'm like, whatever. He deserved it. And obviously the coach likes it. Like, damn, she does have like good punches, whatever. Mm-hmm. Then she goes to her trailer. So like basically the promoter paid for her to have like a trailer to stay in.
Yeah.
But it does kind of suck because she's kind of isolated.
I know. That's true.
Yeah. And it was before cell phones, you know. So she has like a little house phone out there. But it's like –
but she has to take the calls from, like, the gym and stuff.
Yeah, because she's a woman. They're, like, basically, like, you're being the receptionist also.
Yeah, on top of being a boxer.
Yes.
So.
And then they're, like, by the way, you only have 12 days before your next fight, so you need to start practicing. And then we see her running around the track and training at the gym with the asshole trainer, Jim. And then one night at the diner, Jim comes in and they talk. she's so nice. She like invites him to sit down, which she shouldn't have, but she's a nice person. And she was done with her food, but he was going to order a steak. And then she's like, oh, I'll get some pie. And he's like, you can't have pie. I'm not going to train a fat fighter. And I'm like, he is a fat man. What is it with men thinking that like women have to be so skinny and petite, but they're allowed to be as fat as they want?
I know.
And smell like McDonald's. They're
disgusting. But I know.
And so she's like, he's like, she'll just have coffee. And she's like, actually, just a check. Because she's like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
And then he tells her that basically he doesn't believe in lady boxing, but maybe he can make her the best woman fighter in the world. Mm-hmm. And then when she gets home, there's a box outside from gym and it says good luck. And inside, it's a pink boxing outfit. And it's like super cute, but it definitely doesn't fit her style. She's like much more tomboyish.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's like he's already like making a persona for her. Like, oh, if we're gonna do lady boxing, we're gonna make her into this like,
like pink princess everything.
Girly girl.
Yeah.
And when she wears it, you know, in the backstage of the next match, he's like, "You look cute in it." And I think this might be then or maybe later, but he tells her to grow her hair out, and it'll look better. It is
during then. Yeah.
Because her hair is kind of like a – it's like a short – I don't know.
It's not giving fully a mullet. Christina Ricci in
– oh, my God! Monster.
Yeah, yes. That's what I thought of.
It is. Okay, so he's obviously trying to make her, you know, different.
Yeah.
And then she wins in the second round, and Jim tells her, well done. And then we see her talking to her girlfriend on the phone that night and being so excited about boxing. And the girlfriend's like, well, it's not really a career, though, which I think is kind of rude.
That is mean.
And then she invites her to come and visit her, and she's like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I got to tell you, I have a boyfriend now. Ew! I was like,
so
sad. And also, you could hear the man in the background. So I'm like, ew. She's like, you can be here while I break up with my girlfriend to date you.
He's probably like, oh, that's hot. Now you're with me.
Yeah. I was like, ew, I hate this. Also, I can't remember what the girlfriend's name is, but I write it later because
Rosie.
not O'Donnell. and so Christy hangs up on her, and so she's sad. And then time passes, and she wins more fights, and we see her train, and we see her watch videos of other fights to practice. So it's like she's very serious about this. Mm-hmm. We see her win another fight, and she kisses Jim after winning, like, in the ring. And I was like, that's not good because he's old and gross. But
I know.
I think it's like she's, like, kind of isolated, and she's sad because her girlfriend broke up with her, and she's, like, you know, overwhelmed with emotion. Like, you just won this thing, so she's excited, but I don't know. They go to play pool, and he explains how boxing is about playing a character and that she is now playing the pretty pink character. And she looks butch right now, and nobody wants to see a butch girl fight. And I said, that's a lie because I want to see a butch girl fight.
Pay another all the money. Butch girl.
They could do the hot oil wrestling.
No, the white
the white dress. The cream corn wrestling.
Oh, my God.
So then he's like, well, I only rag on you because I know that you could be something. So he's trying to be like, okay. I have to be tough on you to try to make you be something. In the morning, she wakes up in his bed. And so they did hook up. And then she sneaks out to her place because I think she's like, I don't know. I don't know if I should have done that.
Yeah, like, what did I do, actually? Yeah.
And we see her just doing a lot of thinking, you know? They keep showing her, like, thinking alone inside the trailer.
I, too, would also reflect.
You're like,
I
slept fuck, with I really fucked up. And then Jim calls, and he invites her over, and then they hook up again. And then he's like, we should go to the gym. And then she calls her dad later, and she seems really sad, and she says she wants to go home, and she misses them. So I feel like it's like she already is kind of like, I don't know, I'm making bad choices. I don't think I want to be with this old man.
Yeah.
And then we see her at home, and her dad gives her a hug. And then Jim shows up at her family's house, and it's, like, so stupid. He's, like, creepy weirdo. Mm-hmm. And he is like, you need to come back. And she's like, well, I tried it for 6 months. That's what you guys wanted me to do. But I can't make a living doing this, so what's the point? And he's like, well, I know this promoter that can get us an apartment in Daytona Beach. And when the time is right, I'll call Don King. Which if you don't know who Don King is, he's like the most famous boxing – he's the guy that's – you know,
famous promoter.
He does all the like announcements in the boxing. Yeah, he's famous. He has the hair that sticks out and it's great. so that's a big deal because he's like hanging it over her head like he knows Don King and at some point he'll call him. But she has to like prove herself. And so she's like – thinking about it. And then we see him eating dinner with her family and he's being like so charming or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they all like him, obviously, because they're like, we don't want our daughter to be a lesbian. We'd rather have her be with this fucking 40-year-old
this
man.
This old ass man than to be like with McDonald's. Another woman.
Yeah. And so then she agrees to go with him. We see mm-hmm. them moving into a cheap looking hotel apartment in Daytona. Like, obviously, he made it seem like it was going to be nice and it looks like a Motel 6 or something.
Yeah.
Like, and then at the gym the next day, the guy that's training with her doesn't want to hit her because she's a girl. But then it's fine because I think he sees that she's a good fighter. And then they're like, oh, okay. Yeah. So then we see like more fights. She's doing more fights. We see her at the apartment and she gets a phone call. And she's like, yeah, I'd love to see you. But we don't hear who's on the other side. But you can see in the background in the other room that Jim is listening. Yeah. So he's like, he's already very controlling.
Mm-hmm.
And so we find out, obviously, that it was her ex, Rosie, that was visiting her grandma or something in mm-hmm. Florida. And they go to a bar and they're like having a drink in the day.
Yeah.
And then they're like asking each other about their boyfriends or whatever.
Yeah.
And Rosie's like, oh no, that didn't work out. Cause I feel like Rosie's like, no, I like actually am a lesbian.
Like, oh, yeah, I tried it. No.
She's like, I really tried to make my mom happy, but like, no. And she's like, what about Jim? Like, do you love him? And she's like, my mom loves him, you know?
Yeah.
And then Jim shows up cause he's a fucking crazy stalker.
Yeah.
And it's so embarrassing. He's like, I need to talk to you. And she's like, oh, we can talk. This is Rosie. And he's like, no, I need to talk to you alone.
Mm-hmm.
And like basically drags her outside. Like when they're outside, he's like grabbing her arm and she's like, you're hurting me. So he sucks. And then he's like, you are sneaking around and it makes me look bad because you're at the bar with a damn lesbian. And that makes me think of how times have kind of changed, hopefully,
mm-hmm.
but there are like still people that think like, if you're friends with a gay, then that means you're also gay. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
I don't know. It's like so weird. Like, I'm like, I always wonder, like, especially with like older women straight women that I know from work, I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Do their husbands think like, oh, this is weird that you're hanging out with a gay? Does that mean that people are going to think you're gay? Or mm-hmm. like, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. It's so weird. But that was very like of the time.
To be like, oh, evil, but exactly. Like if you're seen with a lesbian, you're a lesbian or vice versa. Like, you know.
Also, I'm like, how do we know she's a lesbian? She looked like a kind of tomboyish, but she wasn't like super – she didn't have a pride flag. She wasn't like
that's true. I guess he was just like, no, that's a lesbian.
Yeah. That's a damn lesbian. And then he's like, I called your dad and told him I'm worried about you. And I'm like, yeah, of course he would call her dad because he's like the same age as the dad.
I know.
Fucking weirdo. They're like peers.
Yeah.
But he's fucking the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Gross. And she's like, what did you say? And he's like, I said I – was worried that you're gay and you're breaking your dad's heart and you're going to lose me also as a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm the only person that believes in you,
mm-hmm.
which is like a classic sign of like an abuser where they like make you feel like no one else could ever love you
mm-hmm.
and they isolate you.
Mm-hmm.
And he obviously she's already being isolated physically by being in the trailer and mm-hmm. now he's not letting her see her friend, but also we'll see later he isolates her even more, so he's just an abuser. Anyway, he's like, I'm the only one that believes in you and you want to be a damn dyke that nobody wants. And then he's like, well, will you marry me? And like gets down on his knee and I'm like, what the fuck, weirdest marriage proposal ever. And she's like, oh my god, get up. Like she's like, this is so embarrassing. And he's like, well, you have to say, will you marry me? And she's like, oh my god, yes, okay, fine. But, like, obviously she's not into it,
she feels like she has to.
And so that was so weird. Mm-hmm. And then we skip forward to 1995. And we see they're still together.
Mm-hmm.
And her parents called, and he pretends she isn't home, which is what I mean when I'm, like, he's isolating her mm-hmm. even further. He's like, oh, she's on a run. And then we see that she's in the other room.
Yeah. Like she's, like, taking a shower or something.
Yeah. He doesn't want the family to talk to her. He doesn't want her mm-hmm. to talk to her family. And then she's like, I think I'm going to get a part-time job. And he's like, why would you do that? You're a boxer. And she's like, well, somebody needs to be able to pay the bills. And she's like,
true.
Yeah. And she's like, maybe I should just go back to West Virginia. And he's like,
West Virginia. Sorry.
Mama. So she's like, maybe I should just go back to It Man in West Virginia. And he's like, if you leave me, I'll kill you. But he says it in like a weird joking way, but it's like, that's a fucking weird thing to say. Like,
that's weird.
I don't know why. There's no scenario where that would like come out of me or my wife's mouth. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's weird. And I feel like she felt that it was weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's like, well, maybe you should get a job because you don't have a job. And he's like, I'm your trainer. That's my job. And she's like, well, it doesn't pay any fucking bills. What kind of a man has a job that doesn't even pay the bills?
I was going to say, I love how she's always like, you're the man, aren't you?
She's like, go to work. Yeah, she's like, I didn't even want to marry a man. And now I have to beat it with this man and he doesn't even do the man things, like pay the fucking bills and have a job.
I know. She's like, useless man.
Yeah. And then he gets so mad and is like, I already told you what you could do to make money and you think you're too good for it. So I'm like, this fucking creepy weirdo. He's like basically trying to pimp her out. Mm-hmm. And so what we see later is apparently she decides to do the thing to make the money. We see them pull up to this dark motel and meet a guy named Douglas. And he's like, oh, I'm Jim and this is Christy. And it's basically like pimping her out to fight with guys that have like weird fetishes.
Yeah.
Which I have seen on a couple of documentaries. One of them was Killer Sally. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it on Netflix?
No, but I know of it.
Okay. So she was this bodybuilder. And that is a way that, and I think they also showed this on True Life once, but that is a way that a lot of female bodybuilders can make money because there are guys that want you to like crush them or like dominate them.
Yeah.
And so basically that's what it is. Like she's not like super big, but she is like strong and they want to like fight this woman. And so it's so weird. Men are so creepy.
I know,
and
he's like disgusting. Trying to
like touch her butt like when they're fighting, you know? Like he's being creepy.
And fucking Jim is just sitting there in the corner of this fucking musty hotel just like
letting this gross fat McDonald's man.
Even grosser.
Yes.
Than Jim.
Yes. And then we see her get in a fight with a girl. So if she's at a, you know, an actual boxing match and she knocks the girl out, she's really good at knocking people out. And after that fight, she meets a guy named Jesse Robinson. And of course, Jim interjects and tries to make it all about me. He's like, oh, I'm the husband and the trainer. So this is all about me. This is my girl. And Jesse like works for Don King. And he's like, you need to meet Don. And then we see Jim and Christy driving to meet him. And Jim acts like he knows Don. And when they get there, and Don is like, I've never met you before. And he's like,
I love that.
He's like, you meet a lot of people, you know, but like this happened. And he's like, no, I never forget a face. I would remember if I met you. I never met you. So I'm like, damn, called out for being a fucking liar.
I love that part.
Cloud chaser. And so he's like, I've never had a lady fighter in my office before. And I heard you have a tape. And she's like, yeah. And so they go to put the tape in. The tape doesn't fucking work. And I'm pretty sure that it's on purpose because Jim is like trying to sabotage her. Because here's the thing. It reminds me. Okay. We talked about celebrities we have beef with. I don't have – this is not a celebrity that I have beef with. I have – I fucking hate the movie A Star Is Born.
Okay.
Because – Bradley Cooper's character. Did you watch this?
No.
He's so insanely jealous of Lady Gaga's character because she starts to become more popular than him. And it's like he wants to sabotage her even though they get married because he used to be more popular.
Yeah.
And then she becomes this star. This is what this is giving. It's like he can't have his woman be the one that is making the money and getting the attention. It has to be him. And it's like, toxic masculinity, fragility. In A Star Is Born, I mean, I don't know. Some people like it. But he just fucking sucks. I hate Bradley Cooper's character. I think at some point he kills himself.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like it also takes – it's like he needs to be the star, even in, like, death. He's like, I have to overshadow her. I don't know. Fucking hate that movie. So Jim reminds me of that character.
Oh.
So – somebody's going to be like, I'm never listening to this again because A Star Is Born is my favorite movie. You ruined
it. Or you spoiled it.
Girl, like, it's like spoilers. okay, so I said I think Jim did it because he's a hater.
Yeah, ruined the tape. I could see that.
And she's like, they're like, oh, okay, well. And she's like, no, 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 I'll show you. Like, let me show you my fighting. Like, and so she, like, takes off her jacket and she starts practicing in front of him in her super cute, like, 90s floral dress. She's like. So she gets a contract for five fights at $5,000 a fight, which is a lot of money, especially for a lady boxer, because I feel like this was, like, a new thing at the time. And then we see her being introduced by Don King as the coal miner's daughter, Christy Martin, because she's from West Virginia. And yeah, when he met her, he was already thinking of like, what am I going to call her? Like the catchy name. So she's the coal miner's daughter. And anyway, he's introducing her at a boxing like press junket thing. And she's going to be fighting on a Mike Tyson undercard, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. Mike Tyson was the fucking shit in the 90s. Like, that, it was such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's still Mike Tyson. Like, people know Mike Tyson, but yeah. I feel like he was, like, at the top of his
game.
That
was, like, at the height this of everything.
This was before he bit Evander Holyfield's ear off and, like, kind of ruined his reputation. This was before that. And so this is going to be the first woman's fight on pay-per-view. So this is a big fucking deal.
Yeah.
And she tells the opponent, she's such a bitch. She reminds me of Ronda Rousey, which I'm like, was Ronda Rousey inspired by Christy Martin, like with her shit talking and just like kind of acting like a cunt in the press conferences. Anyway, she's like, get ready, honey, because Christy Martin's going to knock you the fuck out.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. And so she's giving very confident. But then before the fight, she's like freaking out.
She's really nervous.
And she's so scared. And her mom is trying to talk to her, like talk her down. And Jim tells her, you could do it. You're a star.
Mm-hmm.
And then before the during the fight, she gets hit pretty hard. And she's like bloody as fuck. But she gets some good punches in. And then it goes to decision. And she ends up winning.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool, I guess, that she won. The other person she was against was someone from Ireland, I think. I can't remember the name. I didn't write it down, but it was an Irish person who's a real person, obviously. Most people are. Okay, then we see them in their fancy house doing an interview for TV. So they're rich now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fancy house in Florida. And they have, like, I think they already have, like, matching, like, I think they're both BMW convertibles.
Yeah.
His is yellow and hers is pink.
Yeah.
And I would love to have a pink car, but not a convertible.
Yeah.
Oh my god, a pink Subaru.
Oh, so it would, that's like, so still cute.
Be so lesbian, but I'm like, but it's pink. Okay, that would be cool. Okay, so anyway, she says on the interview she isn't here to give a leg up for women, and she's not a feminist. And I just felt like Jim obviously crafted that for her. Like,
absolutely,
her persona is like this. Like, he's like, she's just a wife, but she also like kicks butt. Like, she makes dinner. She's a real woman.
She,
like,
cleans. You know, she does all the things.
I do nothing because I'm just this gross man.
Yeah.
And then she has a pink BMW. They now own a gym together. It's called, like, Jim and Christy's Gym or something. And then we see her. Okay, then we see Katie O'Brien, which I forgot she was in this. She's so hot.
Me too. She is. She looks so good. I was like,
I died. I was like, oh my God, I forgot she was in this. She's so beautiful.
She is.
Her beautiful eyes. I talked about in Love, Lies, Bleeding. They're still so beautiful.
They are as beautiful as ever.
Yes. And so we see her being homophobic to Katie O'Brien's character. So Katie O'Brien plays Lisa Hollowayn, who is an out lesbian boxer. And she's like, whatever, you dumb lesbian. I don't remember what she says to her.
She's
homophobic, like in like a press junket thing. And I was like, it's obviously because she's jealous because Lisa can live authentically and doesn't have to have sex with a gross old man.
Yeah.
And so then we see her meet a fan on a run. So we see like Christy running around her neighborhood, and she meets a fan, and she's petting his dog. And Jim is watching from the window, and he's all jealous. And it's like, dude, people like this are so exhausting. Like, how do you live your life being like so like jealous and like mad all the time? Like, she's not being flirty. She's meeting a fan, petting his dog, and he's like basically like mad. Like, what were you like?
It's like, how dare you?
Yeah, like,
do
how
that?
Dare you talk
how
to someone?
How dare? Yeah.
And so then he sent home the regular sparring partner that day from the gym because he wants to spar with her.
Oh,
and that's because he's mad at her for talking to that guy. And he just wants to be allowed to hit her. And then she asks him when she'll get a new contract. And he's like, well, I'm handling it. And I was like, he's not fucking handling anything. Yeah. He fucking sucks. And then he punches her in the head and knocks her down because he really just wanted to get in there so that he could hurt her. And then another day, they're in a meeting with Don, and he says he's putting her on the card for the Tyson Holyfield fight.
Yeah.
Which I remember. You weren't born yet. But I this is like not the same. Okay, but you know how like everybody remembers where they were when 9/11 happened?
Oh my God, you remember where you were.
I will always remember where I was when the Tyson Holyfield fight happened. My dad is like, at the time was like Evander Holyfield's number one fan. Like he told me when I was a kid, he always told me that he wanted to name me Evander if I was a boy. And my mom was like, I never would have let him do that. But he like loved Evander Holyfield. Funny. And I remember going, we were at his friend's house. They were having like a party, you know, like to watch the fight. And I remember everybody being like, oh my God, what is happening? What is that's his fucking ear. Like, and I was that's so scared because I was like 6 or 7. I was like, oh my God.
You're like, what's going on? It's like
cannibalism on TV. You know, like I was really freaked out. So I always remember it. Anyway.
Oh my God.
So she's getting put on the card for that fight. And she's going to be against Andrea Deshong. And Christy is like, that dyke bitch hates me for some reason. I don't know why she hates me. It's like, maybe because you always call her a dyke bitch.
I know.
Like, maybe that's why.
Maybe that's why, Christy.
Yeah. And then Don laughs and he's like, by the way, I saw this interview that you did where you were pretty much saying I don't pay you enough.
Yeah.
And I better not ever hear you talk shit about me to the press again.
Yeah.
And it sucks because Jim made her do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's like, you have to get up there and say that because you need to deserve get more money.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's annoying. So then we skip forward to 2003. Oh, and this is scary. We see a promo for Layla Ali and Christy Martin fighting. That is insane because Layla Ali is like 5'11".
Mm-hmm.
She's like very tall and very muscular. Mm-hmm. And Christy Martin is like 5'4 and like 135 or like 140. Like she usually fought at a much lower weight.
Yeah.
But she like has to gain weight to be able to fight Layla. And Layla has to lose weight to be able to fight her. So this is like a crazy fight because they're both – doing the opposite to get able to fight each other. And she's literally so tall.
I know.
Like, it's crazy. Also, Layla Ali is really hot, but I think she's straight. But
I think so, too.
I'm attracted to a big, tall, muscular woman. I was like, oh, Love Lies Bleeding.
You're like, Love Lies Bleeding part two?
Yes. Okay. And so then we see Christy sleeping and getting up to work out. And she's looking sad and in pain. So she asked Jim if they can bring someone else on to co-train, and he is mad because he always gets fucking mad about dumb shit because he's threatened by everything.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah, and then he beats her.
Yeah.
Which we knew was going to happen because he's a piece of shit. He already tried to beat her legally, being like, oh, it's okay, we were sparring. Stupid. And then we see her at training taking out her anger on her friend short dog slash Keith from by just Jim Stones. And he's like, oh, what the fuck? And then Jim is like, okay, I'm going to get Lisa to spar with you to prep for this fight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting, even though she's also a dyke bitch. So I'm surprised he's letting this happen. But anyway, Big Jeff, who is like, I don't know, he's like the manager of the gym or something. Mm-hmm. He says he needs to talk to her at the gym before she leaves. And he said he just wants to make sure she's okay. Basically, I feel like he knows.
He suspects something. Yeah. But he's like, are you okay?
Yeah. And then the next day, Jim brings Lisa into spar, and she finds out that they're paying Lisa to come train with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see them training together. And when they're running, Jim likes to follow them around in his car because he's weird. And also because he knows that she's gay, and he's probably afraid that she's going to steal his girl, which she could.
Yeah.
And then later – at the gym, Lisa and Jim are talking, and she tells him, like, are you sure about this? I'm worried for Christy.
Because
Layla is really big. And
she's like, I don't think I could even beat her.
She's like, I'm bigger than Christy, and I don't think I could take her.
Yeah.
And so aren't you worried for her?
Yeah.
And he's like, whatever, you're just jealous.
He's like, yeah, of course you couldn't beat her.
Yeah, he's like, you're not as good as Christy. And then he tells her to leave. And before she leaves, Lisa gives Christy a pep talk about how she needs to fight smart to beat Layla.
Yeah.
And then Christy's kind of a bitch because that's just her default because I think she's like an unhappy person. So they're just showing that she takes it out on others.
Yeah.
And Lisa's like, you make it so easy for people to dislike you. Like,
oh, I know.
You don't have to act like this. And Christy's like, okay, whatever you say. And Lisa's like, do you remember what I said to you when you wished me good luck before our fight? And I don't remember what she said. Is that when she called her a dyke bitch? I don't know. She said something mean.
She said something, yeah.
And she's like, yeah, because I knew you were fucking with me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, No, I was genuinely wishing you good luck.
Yeah.
And I think that's so like sad because that shows that she's like, she could not imagine an opponent actually wishing her luck. She's like, she's just being a bitch. So I have to also be hard with her, you know? And then we see Christy having stuff added to her outfit to weigh more. They're like putting coins in her pockets for the weigh-in so that she can weigh more. And I'm like, this is not good because like, as we said, Layla had to drop weight and she is not even heavy enough right now to make weight. So they're adding more weight to her. Apparently she weighed in at this weigh-in with the coins and stuff at 159. But she's then telling Jim, like, I'm actually only 143.
Yeah.
And when, by the time we fight, I'm only going to be 143. And Layla weighed in at 162. But by the time she fights, she's probably going to be back to 170. Because it's like they dehydrate themselves and stuff so much. So they make the weight. And then as soon as they eat again, they can gain so much of it back. Yeah. So by the time they actually fight, she's going to be outweighing her by 25 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And she's already like 6 inches taller than her too. Wow, that was a weird noise my throat made. and then at the fight, everyone is waiting for Layla to come out. And she finally comes out, but you can tell Christy is scared. And then Layla hits her in the head really hard and it shook her. And she's dizzy and she tells her corner, like, I'm really dizzy, but they're not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then Layla gets her against the ropes and she's struggling. And she's like, you guys, I'm really dizzy. Nobody cares. And the doctor guy at some point tells Jim, like, we should let her quit. Like, she is not going to make it. And Jim won't let her quit. And then she loses and he looks disappointed in her and she looks sad. So
I know.
Yeah. So this was a big defeat, a big deal in her life. So then we skip forward, I think 7 years to 2010. And we see Christy at the gym and she's practicing and she tells Jim she needs to go home because she isn't feeling well. And he's like, you need to do 2 more rounds. It's crazy. They go into the basement and he's like, you need to do 2 more rounds. But I don't have a fight for you yet, but I'm trying to get you a fight. And then he gives her some Coke and he loves Coke because he's doing it all the time now is what we see.
Yeah.
And, he's like doing it at home. He's doing it at the gym and he's probably using her money to do it.
I know.
And then she finds out that he pretty much made up the potential fight. Mm-hmm. So that's fucked up. And then he gets mad because someone named Deanna, who is her hairstylist, called her and she's like, it's 'cause I need a haircut. And he's like, you don't need a haircut. And it's like, okay.
And she's like, that's how a haircut works. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
And she says something like, you don't know how haircuts work because you're bald.
I was like, uh-oh.
But then he tries to strangle her.
Yeah.
Because he is an he's a dick. Fuck this guy. And then her family shows up another day soon for her birthday. And he's talking about how he's going to get Hilary Swank to do this movie with her about her.
Oh, yeah.
He loves to name drop people he doesn't even fucking know. Like, yeah, he learned that with Don King. He just acts like he's better than he is. And it's so obvious he's making things up. And then she goes to talk to her mom. And she tells her mom that he's abusive and he has hidden cameras. And he knows everything she's doing even when he's not at home. Mm-hmm. And he's always angry. And she's like, mom, he made videos of us like doing stuff, so like sex videos, and she didn't want him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't want him to train her anymore, and she doesn't want to be with him anymore, and she needs to win the money from an upcoming fight so she can leave him. And her mom is such a stupid fucking bitch.
I hate her mom. She's so fucking stupid.
Her mom is like, you sound crazy. Jim told me you were on drugs. And I'm like, he's on drugs. And also, how are you believing him over your daughter? Like, she's such a stupid bitch. I hate her. And so then after the family leaves, we see Jim and Christy in the living room doing drugs. And Christy's obviously still upset. And then he makes a video of her, like, wearing, she has, like, a dildo in her underwear. And I think it's weird because apparently I think he releases this video at some point to make her look bad.
Yeah.
But it makes him look gay because he's like, get over here with that big dick.
Okay,
so
crazy.
You're trying to make her look gay, but like you also look gay.
Exactly.
So this is like,
he didn't think that through.
Yeah, I was like, what a weirdo. Obviously, also in the video, she looks so drugged up. Like, she's like out of it. And another day we see her meeting with Big Jeff and he tells her he's worried about her and that Jim has been skimming money off of fights and hiding money to give to like his ex-wife or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he also said people have been talking about these tapes that he has, these like sexual tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, damn, I was really hoping you were going to tell me he's having an affair and he's going to leave me. She's like, oh, I'm so fucking over this guy. And she's like, I need to get the money from the upcoming fight and I need to keep it away from him. And Big Jeff is like, girl, that fight isn't even happening. I don't know why he's telling you that.
I know.
And so she goes to the gym and she attacks him. And then she says, I'm leaving you. And he says, no, you won't. And he puts his foot on her throat in front of everybody in there.
And they do nothing.
And they don't do anything. And it fucking pisses me off. Mm-hmm. Ugh, I hate him. And then that night she comes home and he's like, where have you been? And she ignores him and she goes to pack her shit. And he tells her again that if she leaves him, he will kill her. And she's like, do whatever you have to do. And mm-hmm. she leaves. And then we see her at a diner and we see Rosie pull up on her motorcycle. And Rosie is like all butch now.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm going to leave Jim. And Rosie's like, okay. And then he calls her while they're at dinner. And he keeps calling over and over. So eventually she answers. Yeah. And he's like, I can see you. I'm so close I could touch you. Like, I know. Fucking weirdo. Like, so gross. And then she tells Lisa, like, he's watching us. And then they go to a hotel that Christy booked. And while Lisa is sleeping, Christy
– Rosie.
Oh. Oops. Okay, well, Rosie and Christy go to a hotel. They don't, like, have sex or anything. They're going, like, as friends, I feel.
Yeah.
And – while Rosie is sleeping, Christy caresses her face, which is like, because she's so gay. She's like, wow, I wish I could have been spending all of my life like caressing a woman's face instead of this gross man with a comb over. And then she leaves and goes to the beach. And when she comes back, she checks her phone and she has a bunch of messages from everyone that Jim sent everyone pictures of her. Mm-hmm. And he's telling everyone that she left him for a woman. And Rosie is like, let's pack up and get out of here. Yeah. And you can just call him and get a company to pick up your stuff.
Yeah.
And Christy's like, no, I have to go back home because I don't want to hide. And she's like, that's my house and my gym and all of my stuff. And he can't push me out of there. And Rosie comforts her and tells her she doesn't understand her, but she wants her to do something for her. She's like, memorize my number so that you can call me if you need me. And so then we see Christy pull up to her house and his stupid yellow convertible is there. So mm-hmm. we're like, oh, he's home. And then she goes to get water and he comes up behind her and is like, we need to talk. And she's like, I need to take a nap first. And then she takes a nap and then she calls Rosie from like bed when she mm-hmm. wakes up for her nap. And she's like, Jim is in the living room. And then he comes to the doorway and he says, I need to talk to you. And she's like, we can talk after I'm done on the phone. And he has his hands behind his back. And she tells Rosie she needs to hang up. And she starts putting her shoes on. And then she sees that he has a knife and he comes at her and starts stabbing her. And then he hits her head against the nightstand and then leaves. Like he's mm-hmm. just like hoping she's dead, I feel. Mm-hmm. Then he comes back and he sees her laying on the floor bleeding and he takes her phone and he takes the battery out. And she's like, I'm so sorry. Like, she's still alive and she's trying to, like, appeal to him. And he's like, whatever, call your girlfriend. And he walks out. And then he comes in with the house phone to show her that it's not plugged in and it doesn't work either mm-hmm. and throws it on the ground near her like he's taunting her. And then he goes to shave his face. Which is weird.
Which is weird, yeah.
And then he gets he comes in with shaving cream all over his face and he gets her gun out of her nightstand and he shoots her with it while she's laying there, mm-hmm. like dying. And then he walks back to the bathroom and he turns on the shower. And she's not dead yet. And she reaches over and she grabs a shirt to try to cover some of like her wounds, like mm-hmm. put pressure. And she gets up and she starts trying to leave. And she grabs keys to the car on the way out, but she grabbed the wrong keys. So that fucking sucks. So
I know.
They're to his car and his car is blocked in by her car. Mm-hmm. So she can't even like drive to like the hospital. And so she starts walking down the driveway and she gets in the middle of the street and she stops a car and gets into the back. And the guy is like, oh my God, what happened? And she's like, please, sir, just drive. I don't want to die. It's so sad.
I know.
And then she's like, sorry, I'm getting blood all over your seat. And I'm like, it's so sad. And then he takes her to the hospital and the ER doctors and nurses are trying to help her. And she tells her that she was shot and stabbed by her husband.
Yeah.
And they ask if there's anyone they can call for her. And she asks them to call Rosie and gives them her number. And when she wakes up, Rosie is there at her bedside. And then we see her family show up. Mm-hmm. And the dad is crying and telling her how sorry he is. And the mom is so stupid and I hate her. Because literally—
she's such a fucking cunt.
Her mom— yeah. Her daughter could have just died. And instead of being worried about that, she's like, Rosie, I need to talk to you outside. And then is like, you need to leave.
Yeah, she's like, this happened because of you.
Yeah, she's like, this is your fault. And Rosie's like, Christy wants me here. And she's like, no, you're the reason this happened. And I wrote, what a stupid fucking cunt bitch. I hate her.
Honestly, she's fucking dumb.
Yeah. The mom tells Christy that Rosie left. So she tries to make it act like she just like left on her own. But I feel like Christy knows that she wouldn't.
Yeah.
She asks where Jim is and they are like, he got arrested and he was found hiding. And the mom is like, everyone is saying that you were going to leave Jim for that woman. And I'm like, why is she still so upset about what people think? Like the husband, Jim, literally almost killed her daughter. And she's still so worried about what other people think. And if people are going to think that her daughter is gay or if her daughter is gay. Mm-hmm. Like, whoa, there are way worse things in the world. Do you really think it's worse for her to be gay than for her to be dead, killed by her abusive fucking piece of shit husband that you told her to stay with?
Mm-hmm.
Dumb bitch. And so she's like, you could say you were with a different girl named Rosie so people can understand and they won't think you're gay. And she's like, mom, are you fucking kidding me? You might as well have pulled the trigger yourself.
Yeah.
And it's like, I tried so hard to be what you wanted and look where it got me.
I know. It's so fucking sad.
Then after the family leaves, we see Christy get up and go into the bathroom and look at her wounds. And then we see a nurse telling her, you need to use your walker to walk. And she's like, okay. And so then we see her just walking normal, carrying the walker on her shoulder. She's like, I'm not going to use a fucking walker. She's like, I'm fine. Like an old lady. And then we see Lisa show up to visit her because Lisa is a good person.
Lisa is an actual friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's like, so who's Rosie?
I know.
Which I thought was cute. And then Christy's like, wow, people are going to hate me because I called so many people dykes. Like,
I know.
Basically, she's like afraid like the lesbian community is never going to accept me because I was so mean.
Yeah.
And Lisa's like, yeah, maybe they will, but maybe they won't. And maybe she's you I don't know why this is so like hard, but she's like, maybe you just learn to expect the worst from people. And I think that's so true. Like there are a lot of people in the community that like we understand where she is coming from and why she said those horrible things. And we accept her with open arms, you know?
Yeah.
But she didn't think anyone would. And she tells Lisa she wants to fight again. And Lisa's like, okay, but no one will hold it against you if you don't. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, I want the ring back. This is the only place that I feel calm and quiet. And Lisa's like, good luck. And this time she says, thank you.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of lesbian eye contact.
There is.
And then after she's more recovered, she's released from the hospital. We see her show up to the gym and everyone is staring. And Short Dog and Big Jeff come out. And Short Dog says he's sorry. And he fucking should be because he didn't do anything when he saw Jim have his fucking, like, shoe on her throat.
Mm-hmm.
And then she reaches out for a hug because she's a good person and she is forgiving. And he's crying. And then the doctor guy and Big Jeff come and they hug her too.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she wants to fight and train again. And they're like, you literally just got attacked 2 weeks ago, but okay.
I know. She's like, no, I'm good.
Like, no, I'm fine. And then in narration, she's saying, like, she doesn't know how to live her life without being controlled because Jim has controlled her for so long. She's like, I don't know what I want to eat, you know, because it's like it's always been what he wants.
She's like, I don't know who I am.
Yeah, it's so sad. And so she says that one of her only regrets was that she didn't take help when it was offered and that she should have walked out the first time he said he would kill her.
Yeah.
So I feel like I really like that they put that in. I don't know how it was in real life, but she was a big part of the movie, but I like that they kind of put it in so early in the relationship. He said it almost in like a joking way, but she kind of at the heart of it knew that was weird. And she's like, I wish I left back then, you know? And then we see the narration is in his trial and she is like talking right to him and they're like, you're being too confrontational. And he doesn't want to look at her. And she's like, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
Look me in the fucking eyes. Like she's like aggressive with him. And she's like, you can't do anything right. You couldn't even kill me right, you piece of shit. I was like, oh my God, I love her. Like, humiliate this man.
She's like, you came up short. Like, everything else.
Like, you couldn't do anything, fucking loser. And then we see her getting wrapped for a fight and then going out to applause. And she looks so happy and free. Yeah. And we see a lesbian. as she's walking out, go like, good job.
Like, oh my God.
And it's the real Christie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so sweet. It was funny because I was watching it with my wife and she's like, oh, that's a lesbian. And
I was like, that's Christie.
I think that's Christie. I think that's what her hair looks like now because it's kind of like a little spiky.
I was waiting for the little cameo. I knew it was going to happen, but yes, I was like, when?
I didn't realize she had a cameo. And so I was like, oh my God, I think that's her. So I was like, wow, that's so cool. Anyway, so then we see, like, I think it says it in like writing, Jim got 25 to life for second degree attempted murder. And Christie is now a boxing promoter and an advocate for DV victims.
Yeah.
And she married Lisa in 2017.
I know! And then they show pictures and it's so, so cute.
And I really love it. Mm-hmm. And, that was the end. But I think it was such a good movie, you guys. Anybody that didn't watch it because they don't like Sydney Sweeney, you're missing out. Yeah. And I think watching it, like, yeah, you're supporting Sydney Sweeney, but you're also supporting this woman who went through, like, hell, you know? So yeah. It's like, support Christie in any way that you can.
Yeah, exactly.
Know? Don't let Sydney's shittiness overshadow it.
Exactly.
And she does a good job acting.
She actually does. Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised. I think she's a good actress. Okay, so anyway.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Are you okay?
Okay, so due to the nature of the film, we're not going to do a Munch Merch Murder. Obviously, I think Katie O'Brien is so hot, but I didn't want to do it. It felt inappropriate with it being about real life people. Mm-hmm. And someone that almost literally got killed.
Literally died, yeah.
So we're going to talk about our key takeaways. Angie, will you share yours?
Yes. So I feel like, again, too, sort of what you were saying is like, this is such an important story, and I feel like maybe people knew about Christie Martin before. Maybe they didn't. Like, I guess my generation, unless you're like really obsessed with like lesbians in sports.
Yeah, right? Even me, I didn't know about it until I saw the documentary.
Yeah, I knew of her, but I didn't know like her story. So like watching this, I was like so emotional. And I feel like this is not only a good story for people to see, but like this was history when she was doing these fights and she was paving the way for other women as well. And then
yeah, she paved the way for Ronda Rousey.
Yeah. Yes, she
and
did.
Others, but just women exactly. in sports and women in
yes. And
fighting.
Then also shedding light on domestic violence. And like, I know because I think it was what you were talking about, the Killer Sally, they were saying like how she was the one, right? Where they were like, how could she be abused or whatever? Because she has muscles. And mm-hmm. it's like the same thing for Christie. Like, even though she's a boxer, she said multiple times, like, she felt scared. And you figure he had a huge influence on her life. Like, she met him when she was like, what, 18, 19 years old? So it's just, people often say that where it's like, but you're big, you can defend yourself, you're this. And that doesn't matter when it comes to domestic violence. Yeah. So. No. It was just a really good movie.
It was so good.
What is your key takeaway?
My key takeaway is this was so good. And it showed a true survivor.
Yes.
And I think it also showed the power of women. Mm-hmm. And I just love that her ex-girlfriend was there for her as like a really good friend. And I think that's something that, you know, people say like that's a stereotype about lesbians that they're all friends with their exes. And you know what? It's not always true. I'm not friends with my ex. But I think that especially in that time period where the lesbians that you knew were so few and far between.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool that they were able to kind of stay in touch. And like she mm-hmm. was there to help her. Like, you know, whether they were romantic or not. It was like I don't know. I just love women.
It's like women saving women
exactly.
and helping other women.
And I just love it. So that is what I said about it. okay. So we're going to rate this movie on a scale of 1 to 5. I'm giving it a 5.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's hard not to. I feel like maybe, you know what, people can disagree and say like, blah, blah, whatever. But I think it was deserving of a 5. I do feel, like you said, it was a box office bomb because of Sydney Sweeney, not mm-hmm. because of like the actual story. So, yeah.
Yeah, fives
across fives all the board. Around. Yeah.
So if you're enjoying But I'm a Lesbian, please head over to our Instagram or TikTok and follow to stay up to date on our newest episodes and hottest takes. We're now accepting questions for our Dear Dykes advice segment. Send in your dilemmas and get help from us, your favorite lesbian podcasters. There's a link to the job form in the description of this episode, as well as on our link tree on all social media pages. Visit our Patreon and get access to ad-free episodes, bonus content, and more.
Okay, welcome back. Since this is our season two finale, we wanted to do something special and then, well, obviously do a segment that we've never done before and we might never do again, depending on how it goes. This is This or That Lesbian Version.
Yes. So it's like kind of rapid fire, but you know how we are. We overthink things and we like to talk about stuff. So it might not be that rapid fire.
We'll try to keep it rapid fire.
Yeah, we will try.
No promises.
Okay. I'll start. We'll just go back and forth.
Okay.
Okay. So tragic yearning ending or unrealistic but happy ending?
I love happy endings.
I know. I was like, you talk about loving happy endings. I'm all like, the
actually,
time.
Tragic yearning. And yeah. No, an unrealistic happy ending. You?
I kind of agree.
Right?
It's like, I do, when I think of a tragic yearning ending, I don't know.
I think of death or like.
Well, I think maybe of like Portrait of a Lady on Fire because couldn't be together. But also, I think kind of disobedience because it's like, it was tragic in a way. But I like the ending of disobedience because even though they weren't together, they were both able to live their lives. Yeah. So anyway, that's what I was comparing it to.
Okay. Friends to lovers or enemies to lovers?
I love enemies to lovers.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I love when I'm watching a show and I'm like, oh, they hate each other. They want to fuck.
Yeah.
What about you?
Friends to lovers. I just like, it makes me think of me and Yami because we were friends before. And then obviously now we're together.
That's true. Okay. This one makes me laugh. Separate blankets in bed or full blanket war every night?
Oh my God. Okay. I'm going to be canceled over this. But I, even though Yami sometimes says maybe we should do separate blankets because I always pull the blanket away from her. I'm like, no, how dare you want a separate blanket? Please share a blanket with me. So maybe that's selfish, but I always make sure to like give her the blanket. I'm like, have more. I get hot every night too. So I don't know how it is that I'm always pulling the blanket.
Yeah.
It must be when I'm turning because I turn a lot. So anyways, you?
I was like that too.
Yeah.
After like 10 years, I did start to feel bad. And
after 10 years, I started to feel bad.
Well, because I was the same way. I was like, you love me. You should want to share the blanket with me. And she's
that's
like,
what I'm thinking.
But babe, I'm cold all the time because I toss and turn a lot. And so
and
we
the
started.
Blanket goes, huh?
Yeah. So we started the Scandinavian sleep method like a year ago and we have never gone back. We have our own blankies.
Okay.
And it's better because she's not so sad all the time.
Maybe in 10 years, I will also decide to let Yami have her own blanket. Okay, slow burn, emotional intimacy, or instant we moved in emotionally on day 3?
Well, I guess I kind of like the instant. Like, okay. I'm thinking of like that relatively recent Kristen Stewart interview where she talked about her wife.
Mm-hmm.
Are they get married yet? Are they still engaged?
I think they got married.
Okay.
I swear they did.
But she talked about when she met her and it was like, everything is like done. Like she just kind of knew that this was like her person and she loved her. And I think that's so sweet.
That is sweet. Yeah. So you're doing, we moved in emotionally on day 3. Okay. I feel like I do like that too, but I do like a slow burn.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say slow burn.
True. I wrote this one. It's stupid. Okay, finishing each other's sentences or finishing each other's sandwiches?
Honestly, I love when Yami doesn't finish her food and I get to have her food. So finishing each other's sandwiches.
I agree because I am a really big believer of we should order two different things and share them so we get to try multiple things on the menu.
Yeah.
Oh, your turn.
Oh, my turn. My bad. I got confused.
Sorry.
No. You're okay.
It's fine.
Build a life that is peaceful and stable or a life that is a little chaotic but deeply funny and full of stories.
I know that's hard because I think that our life is peaceful and stable, but right. It's also hilarious.
Yeah, like so. It's funny. It's like a bit of both, right?
Yeah. But I think peaceful and stable in general. Like I want to be able to know that we have a roof over our heads and our babies' heads.
Oh, that makes so much sense, honestly. I feel like, yeah, I'm going to say peaceful and stable.
Okay, this one is weird. To me, maybe it's not weird to you. Share everything or have one mysterious drawer you never explain.
Okay, I feel like in general, we already do share everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to have to go with that one.
Me too, because the mysterious drawer thing,
I don't have a mysterious drawer.
The mysterious drawer makes me think of Dexter, like the show. Because after he married Rita, he kept his apartment because he had all his murder stuff there.
Oh, that makes
sense.
And
it was so weird. And I know a drawer is different, but
it was a mysterious apartment for him.
Yes. Share everything. We literally share a towel. People say that's weird, but
that is
it's our clean body.
I feel like that makes sense. Sometimes Yami will accidentally use my towel, but I'm taller than her. So I like the towel to like wrap around me. And she's shorter and like skinnier than me. So like, you know, her towel, like she can use whatever towel. But when we have like other towels and one towel's like too short on me and I feel like I can't walk around, it just feels like I'm exposed. So I like the longer towels. So,
yes, you know. I bought our towels are like an extra big fluffy towel because I would have that problem also. Yeah. It like the sometimes hotel towels don't like
go all
cover.
The way around. Yeah.
And so I bought these. I want to say it's like Brookstone linen. I actually heard it on a podcast commercial. They used to do a lot of podcast commercials, but they have like extra, extra large, extra plush towels.
Wow.
But we have two, but we just use one at a time. You know, that we'll be like, oh, babe, we need to wash our towel.
That's cute.
Oh, so weird. Okay. Your turn.
Oh, my bad. Okay. Dramatic public kiss in the rain or quiet forehead touch that ruins your life?
I hate rain. So quiet forehead touch that ruins my life.
I'm going to be dramatic public kiss.
I just hate rain. Portrait of a Lady on Fire level connection, but you can't be together, or mid relationship, but you could stay together forever.
Oh my God. I hate when you can't end up together. So honestly, I'm going to say mid relationship, but you can stay together forever. Yeah. Maybe it can go from being mid to better.
Yeah.
Oh, you?
I kind of think I would say the first one, Portrait of a Lady on Fire, but you can't be together. In that, I sometimes, this is morbid, but sometimes one, I will talk about like, what if one of us dies?
Yeah.
And if she died, I wouldn't be with anyone else. And if I died, she wouldn't be with anyone else. And that's what I'm thinking of when it's like, you can't be together because one
of us
dies.
It's because one of
us. But we had this special relationship once in our life. And then, I don't know.
That's so sweet.
We'll just be widows.
Yeah. Okay. A lesbian road trip or staying home together and reorganizing your life together in 48 hours?
Well, I hate organizing. So that's really hard. But I also don't like to leave the babies. So can we just stay home and chillax? I would like that.
But you have to reorganize.
Okay, while fine. I'm going on a road trip then. I hate it.
I know. I love organizing. Sometimes it sucks,
but
I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to reorganize my entire life.
Carol, Slow Burn, Longing, or Love Lies Bleeding, Crime, and Instant Ride or Die?
Oh my God. Love Lies Bleeding, Crime.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, right? Oh, my bad. Yeah. Quiet night in watching movies or chaotic friends coming over house night?
Well, I like both, but because my wife is so introverted, I would choose the quiet night in because I know she would be less stressed.
That makes sense. I'd probably have to say, even though I like the chaotic friends thingy, I'm going to say quiet night.
Yeah. Planned date night every week or spontaneous, we end up at the thrift store for 2 hours dates.
I like planned date nights.
Aww, yeah. Cute.
You?
I say the spontaneous because
the thrift store is so you guys.
Yes. But it's like, it is really fun because there have been times where we're like, oh, we need to run errands. And then while we'll be like, oh my God, can we go to the thrift store? And
you're
then
like,
we end up going to multiple thrift stores and we're having so much fun. And then we're like, oh, let's get coffee, you know?
A little fuel for the thrifting.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, my bad.
Last two.
Having matching tattoos or tats of each other's names.
Matching tattoos.
I think.
Do you want to get Yami's name?
I feel like maybe matching tattoos. Oh, okay. I like that. I'm like, yeah, I do like, you know, something maybe like an inside joke, obviously, that you two know of. And it's like, that's a little thing.
Do you have matching tattoos?
No. I'm like, I don't think we're there yet. I mean, yeah, we'll be together for 2 years, but that's like when you reach like a milestone. Like when I feel like would be a good time, maybe what, like 10 years? Because then it's like, we're solid. So I'll have this tattoo. And if we somehow do break up, I'll have it as a good reminder.
Yeah.
Compared to not saying that I want to break up with her now. To right now, I'd be like, well, damn, I really did that. I know I can get it covered, but then I wouldn't want to.
No, I know.
I think Yami thinks the same way, too. If anything, she'd be like, I think she'd say 10 years or more.
Okay, but don't you kind of have matching tattoos? Because you have a ladybug lady and she has the ladybug.
That's so true. Yeah, so but at least it's not like too, like, you know what I mean?
It's not exact.
Yeah, that's true.
Juan and I got this matching heart rose
when we'd
been together for like 2.5 years, I think.
Oh, that's cute.
And then, so I say matching tattoos.
Okay, that makes sense.
I told her before she should get my name tattooed on her, but I usually say it as a joke when we see people that have like the name on their head.
Oh, like the right here.
Yeah. But I'm just kidding. I wouldn't want her to do that. But this was like our like wedding ring thing because she has the skinniest finger. So her ring is too big and I forget to wear my ring. So at least we still have like each other's initials. So that's kind of matching. And then we also have Still Into You with like heart and butterflies because that's like our song. I think those are all the matching tattoos. She's gonna that's be so like, cute. Oh my god, you forgot this one.
She's like, Kaylin, how could you forget that?
Like, I don't think there's shit, we have more. Okay. Oh, I almost forgot. Okay, so we have the lyrics to System of a Down. And
cool.
I have And If You Go, I Wanna Go With You.
Oh my
with
god.
With like a coffin and roses. And then she has And If You Die, I Wanna Die With You with a coffin and roses. That's our biggest matching tattoo.
That's so cute.
That's like a big one. Anyway, yeah, but we don't have each other's names, just initials. So matching outfits or like matching styles or completely opposite aesthetics.
I'm going to say completely opposite aesthetics.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, I kind of like that, but I also am like, what are we thinking? Because
That makes sense.
Because I'm thinking like the Lulu lesbians or whatever. Like, I would never be that.
You're gonna be Lulu lesbians?
Yes, I've seen people say that, and I'm like,
oh.
No offense to the Lulu lesbians, but I'm just not that.
A Lulu lesbian.
I wouldn't date somebody with like basic style.
Yeah.
So I do think we both have, I don't know, we both have tattoos. We both have like slightly edgier style, but obviously she would never wear my clothes.
That's what I take it as. Like opposite like aesthetics, like you, that's what I'm taking it as. Like
she wouldn't wear a dress.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yay. That was so fun.
That was fun. I like that.
I can't believe this was our finale of our second season. So thank you so much, everybody. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for listening to so many episodes. If you're bored next week, you can binge all the old episodes because we won't have a new episode next week. We will have a short teaser, like a couple minute long teaser about season three. And then season three will start after that. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for tuning in. We are your go-to for sapphic media reviews, WLW drama, and unfiltered queer takes. If you enjoyed the show, please like, share, and subscribe on any platform that you're on. And please leave us a review to help support the queer community and keep this lesbian-led pod thriving. After all, the algorithm's a bitch, and we're just two lesbians with mics trying to survive.
Yes. And as Kaylin mentioned, we are taking a break in between the seasons, so there will not be a new episode next week. But we have a lot of fun stuff in store for season three. So get ready. And then season three opener will be available on Tuesday, May the 19th. And we will be discussing The World Unseen, which is available on Sling.
Yes. So we will
see you next Tuesday. Yeah.
Executive producers for But I'm a Lesbian are Caitlin Beatty and Angelina Herrera. Produced and mixed by Victoria Shiflett. Creative direction and video editing provided by Juanita Iriarte. Music by Stiletto Falsetto.